I've entitled this Two Ways That God Speaks to Us, but originally it was Five Ways, and I found that you need a lot more time to do that. So I've kept it to two, dreams and visions. But I want to just do a quick thumbnail sketch of the other three. I've been reading Numbers recently, and in there, and we'll read it in a minute, in Numbers 12, 1 to 8, it talks about the God speaking in dark speech in some renditions. That what that simply means is God is speaking in puns, parables, which our Lord shared lots of parables. And it's a good way of teaching. Then the next one is reading our Bibles and studying our Bibles. And when the Holy Spirit illuminates a text, it seems to jump off the page and we write it down and look into it. And the third one is an audible voice, which is a rarity. But not that rare in Scripture. God spoke several times, particularly at Jesus' baptism, the Mount of Transfiguration, etc. Okay. When we are in a prayerful attitude towards God and are truly listening to Him, and God can be difficult to listen to because the flesh is so easily interfering. Listening is active work, and the key to it is restful, abiding trust. Then the Lord will come by whatever door He finds open, or by His wisdom for His purposes in raising us. God speaks by whatever mode He knows is available within the opportunities we have allowed Him, and by the best possible way to communicate or teach the most. We must be open to Him. Numbers 12, 1 to 8. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. "Has the Lord spoken to us only through Moses?" they asked. "Hasn't He also spoken through us?" And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Come out of the tent of the meeting, all three of you." So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance of the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, He said, "Listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions and speak to him in dreams." I call this the sleep language of God. That's dreams. "But this is not true of my servant Moses, who is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, not in riddles or dark speech, and he sees the form of the Lord. Then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Now, these two ways are a continuity. That is, from the most indirect to the direct. The most indirect way, which involves the least interference from the conscious mind, is through a dream. The great thing about a dream sent from God is you sometimes get a pure, unadulterated word, not mixed with impurities. Everyone has dreams, and they are not all sent from God. Some years ago, a Canadian university researched and studied live volunteers and filmed them 12 hours of sleep. When sleeping, their bodily effects were tossing and turning in bed and even shouting out. We dream most heavily, apparently, between 3 and 5 a.m. And more than one dream sometimes, but a lot we don't remember. But those from God, the dreams, we do. Dreams are one of the consequences of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Joel 2:28. I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams. Well, I'm an old man now, but even as a young man, I had dreams. Young men will see visions, even on my servants, both on men and women. Some of this was partly fulfilled at Pentecost, when Peter reiterates some of this in Acts 2:17 to 19. God has guided his children at nearly every major turning point in biblical history through the language of dreams. If every instant involving dreams was removed from the Bible, one third of its contents would be missing, and most of the important revelations and events through biblical history. The virtue of a dream is that one fast-moving reel may speak with minimum conscious interference. It can often teach us more profoundly by dreams because they stimulate us to think about a subject and make discoveries. Now, the Eastern courtesy of speaking is founded upon this principle, that each person retains best what they have discovered for themselves. As early as Genesis 20, verse 6, God warned King Amalek that Sarah was Abraham's wife, and Abraham had lied and said he was his sister because he was frightened at her beauty, that the king would want to stick her in the harem. And he caused Abraham to send him away with all kinds of riches. He became a rich man. Also in Genesis 20, 28 and 31, Jacob had several dreams. Example, Genesis 28, 12, known as Jacob's ladder, with angels ascending and descending, with the Lord stood at the top. And he reiterates the covenant promise of Abraham. There's a mountain in the Peak District called Kinder Scout, and you walk from Edale, it's part of the Pennine Way, and quite a large section of it looks like a ladder. It's stones that are paved, and I've not been actually there, but I know about it, and it was named after this thing in the Bible called Jacob's Stairway or Ladder. Joseph, recently, we've had this, was given two dreams which he foretold his dominion over his brothers, and he rose to power in Egypt and became an interpreter of dreams. Genesis 40, 41. Daniel rose to power in Babylon, interpreting dreams, particularly Nebuchadnezzar's dreams, and the coming of the Lord Jesus' kingdom was foretold. Over in the New Testament, Christ's stepfather, Joseph, was commanded to keep Mary as his wife, Matthew 1:20, and to flee with his family to Egypt, with his family, and to return when Herod had died, in Matthew 2:12. Sometimes the wise men at one particular period were told in a dream not to return to Herod because they know what they were wanting to do. Sometimes there are symbols in dreams, and many can have a double meaning. Example, a lion is royalty and courage. A serpent on a pole symbolizes healing. A two-edged sword is to separate for God and bring wounding. Symbols can mean more than one thing, and this keeps us from assuming too easily that we understand everything about a dream. We are forced to seek the Holy Spirit to clarify. Colors can be a double symbol. Red is the color of blood of forgiveness. But if we walk apart from God, color of anger, I saw red. But people are the most important, relatives, friends. To dream of giving birth often means that the Holy Spirit is telling us something new. A new aspect is coming from our lives and change is coming. I believe God is gracious to us in this revelation. He is selective in what he says and the picture that he gives. He knows what we can cope with at this stage and time in our lives. Some dreams are external and some internal. An external dream reveals something which has little to do with our personality or character. An internal dream reveals something about our own inner being and is more personal. But sometimes it can be both. I had a dream a couple of years ago about a construction of a double-edged sword. And I knew straight away as we was visiting, it was for a church in Amroth Bay. Incidentally, it was called New Life Fellowship. Every night I pray that the Lord is going to speak to keep out all the rubbish, that I will clearly remember the dream and write it down. Now, I don't know whether you've been in, we haven't been in bookshops for the last 19 weeks, but if you're browsing the bookshops, they're full of interpretation of dreams and visions. Most of the worldview and not necessarily God's perspective. I came under a man called Herman Riffel, a Swiss-American, was a psychologist as well as a pastor. 50 years ago, I went to a conference in North London. It was called Fountains Trust, run by Michael Harper. And, you know, what he said, I remembered. And I thought, if it's true that God can send us godly dreams and visions, I need to experience some of this. So I began to ask the Lord to send me dreams and visions. And not long after that, I began to experience dreams and visions. Visions, I call the picture language of God. We receive a vision or a picture when we are mostly awake. But in a vision, our minds can embellish or interfere. That means we have to die to ourselves more thoroughly in order to receive a vision safely. As in dreams, the Lord speaks to us indirectly, that we might grow in knowledge and wisdom and stature. Visions come in many degrees. Sometimes the Holy Spirit flashes pictures across our inner screen of our minds. And sometimes we think it is our imaginations. But we must not discount them. They can be sanctified imagination. The Holy Spirit can operate through our imaginations. Other times, such visions are symbolic, in which the Holy Spirit uses a cartoon to convey a message figuratively. A vision or picture comes to our mind's eye. We had no part in setting it up. Where do these thoughts come from? Only three possibilities or sources: the devil, our flesh, or the Holy Spirit. We who belong to the Lord should not exclude the possibility that God is speaking in a vision. But we do need to discern prayerfully and ask God. He can give us confirmation, or it can come via other people. The next degree of visions is when, in prayer, the Holy Spirit pops a picture before us vividly, without aid, and usually to our surprise minds. This is not seen with our physical eyes, but is within us. Again, we had no part in setting it up. We have to exercise self-discipline sometimes to keep it out. The next type contains a sense of actually seeing outside ourselves, although at times we realize we are seeing with something else or more than our physical eyes. We are awake and in full control. I call some of these visions a double take. When God uses objects or nature. A few years ago, when we were lived 17 miles outside Inverness, I was driving to an elders' meeting, and it was a common sight in early autumn to see flocks of geese emigrating, and they fly in a V shape. And I noticed the geese at the front suddenly veers off and tails right to the back. And I began to think about this. And God said, in the leadership, whether there's four or five of you or three or whatever it is, so that the person doesn't get tired out spiritually, is to veer off and go to the back, and you can fly further in the slipstream. Geese fly up to 3,000 miles, but not with the same person at the front. So when I shared that, they agreed that, yeah, that's what we need to do. That was one of the dreams I had about nature. The other vision was, I had a vision of a man running on a treadmill. And I said, what does this mean, Lord? And it was a warning that you're running on a treadmill and getting nowhere spiritually. But there was an alternative explanation. He said, I want you to run on a treadmill so that you get spiritually fit. So I shared again with the leadership, and they said, yeah, we can take both of those. That's what we need to do. Now, my latest vision was 2.5 weeks ago. This is about clouds. I was sitting in the garden taking in the sun 2 or 3 weeks ago. I looked up and saw in the clouds three faces in a triangular square shape. The faces looked alike. I immediately thought of Father, Son and Holy Spirit. I took off my glasses, closed my eyes because I thought I was seeing things, and I was. Put them back on, and they were all still there. Suddenly, an audible voice said clearly and emphatically, we are coming again on clouds. Then to the left of these three faces, a cloud formation came. It was moving quite fast, really, and it formed between the spaces, a huge cross. I knew where this vision was coming from, and it was a kind of confirmation. Now, that voice, many years ago, my father died at 34, and my mother was 32, and I was 9, and it was tragic. It really sent us haywire, and my mum had a breakdown. And some years later, the day I was converted, about 2 a.m., I woke up in the middle of the night. I knew there was something there. And from the bottom of the bed, I heard my earthly father say, now you have become a real man. And then heard the voice of God audibly. And God said, from tonight, I will be your father. My sheep hear my voice, John 10, 3 and 4, and follow me. That was when God was teaching me about his fatherhood. And he taught me by the experience, launched off from that. I was quite shocked, to be candid. And I flopped back in bed, but pleasantly, I had a good night's sleep. I know that Jesus is coming back, because it says in Revelation 1 verse 7, look, he is coming with clouds, every eye will see him, and those who pierced him. I got up and turned to my Bible. God was telling me to look up Genesis, the beginning, and especially Genesis 1 verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Three plurals. Us, our, and our. And I looked up the word for God there, and it's Elohim. It's a plural. I really believe that it's in plural form, but also means singular. It's from a word called Eloha. Sounds like an Hawaiian greeting, doesn't it? But, you know, I really think it's a pointer to the Trinity in the New Testament, this. And I asked God, you know, what was going off here? And since he said, you need to look at me from a Trinitarian point of view. And so that's what I began to do. It was nothing new, but it gave me something, some broader understanding about God himself. It's nothing new because I look back in history, and around 1623, when there were a lot of Puritan divines about, John Donne, who was a great preacher, used to speak his sermons in Old St. Paul's in London. He also wrote poetry and sonnets. And one sonnet I remember, it starts with this: batter my heart, thrice holy God. And I found that it was something else. If it is a true vision from the Lord, in time it will be fulfilled and will materialize and appear. Any vision, if it is to a person or persons, they will have to cooperate and do what it says. Let us be hearers and doers, James 1:21. If it is a prophetic vision, and it's even directive, like all dreams and visions, they have to be tested to see if they ring true. There are several ways. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. 1 John 4:1. Also, the witness in our own spirits with the Holy Spirit living in us is a great yardstick. The witness of our own spirits goes a long way, but other people's spirits can witness with us that these visions and dreams are true. All should glorify God and edify God's people. Anyone who receives a vision or a dream should learn to follow the Lord, not the vision or dream. If the vision or dream is true, the Lord will bring it about. Don't try to make it happen, as this attitude drops back to selfish flesh. And now to end, I will give you a Trinitarian benediction in 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen.